1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Long.
Two Sundays ago, we started a sermon series applying biblical principles to government. And while some Christians don't believe that the Bible speaks to these issues, God does say a lot in His Word about the Bible, and the Word of God, God's Word, should be applied to our individual lives, to marriage and the family, to the church, and to our cities, states, and nations. We need to, and God desires, and you can read in the Bible, God desires to have righteous people in authority, ruling. And in America, we have a very unique position and a very unique opportunity that prior to the founding of America, people did not know. People didn't know and didn't have the ability to vote for those who were going to rule. And in fact, in America, we have even a greater responsibility and a greater opportunity because we, the people, are the government. And it's not that they are ruling over us. We should be ruling over them. But we know that we have sat back and really allowed a small group of people to, whether it be the Supreme Court, Congress, our county commission, our city council members, school board, we've allowed a small group of people to actually rule over us instead of us ruling over them. So we're gonna go to the Bible. And by the way, if you've missed any of these sermons, you can go back to and you can go to our Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. You can watch those previous sermons. Also, our church website, covenanttabernacle.com. Charles Carroll of Carrollton, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said this: "Without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. They, therefore, who are decrying the Christian religion, whose morality is so sublime and pure, and which denounce against the wicked eternal misery, and which ensured to the good eternal happiness, are undermining the solid foundation of morals, the best security for the duration of free government." Richard Henry Lee, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said this: "It is certainly true that a popular government cannot flourish without virtue in the people." George Washington, father of our country, first president of the United States, and of course the commander, the general of the Revolutionary War, said this: "While governments protect all in their religious rights, true religion affords to government its surest support." So we're going to just review quickly some of the things we've talked about in the last few weeks, that rulers must recognize God as our creator. And this is really where it all starts. If you believe that God is our creator, you believe, first of all, that we have value, that every human being has value. You also believe that you're subject to His rules and His governing. Also, that rulers should read the law of God and fear and obey God. Rulers must be just. Also, rulers must judge the people justly, or judges must judge the people justly. Our constitution and laws should be based on God's law. By the way, our voter guides, which we have out at FloridaVotesValues.com, those voter guides do ask that question. Do you believe that our Bible or that our laws and Constitution should be based on God's law? It's amazing how many candidates don't believe so or are undecided. They're unsure. But really, our founding fathers, they actually searched the Scripture. And they applied biblical principles to government. And although not perfect, they did establish a greater level of freedom, a greater level of protection for human rights than had been ever established prior to that. Our constitutional laws must be based on God's law. Also, rulers should honor God. Rulers should and must defend innocent human life. Rulers must defend marriage. Rulers must return the law of God, the Bible, prayer, and creation science to schools. Rulers must stay within their delegated powers. The Constitution does delegate certain powers to the federal government, and other powers are reserved for the states or for the people. And rulers must live within their means. Instead of printing more money than what we have, instead of raising taxes and collecting more. And you can read in 1 Samuel chapter 8, we've done this. God defines tyranny as 10%. So any government that requires 10% or more of you is a tyrant. And we need to return to a place where our federal, state, and local government, where the amount we spend for that costs less than 10% of someone's income. We see that rulers also must stay within their authorized roles and restrain others. The founding fathers looked at Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. From this passage, they got the judicial branch, the legislative branch, and the executive branch. They didn't want a king, but they did want an executive branch. These are three separate forms or separate areas of government. And the founding fathers believed that men were evil. By the way, the Bible teaches that. There are some people today that believe men are basically good, but the Bible teaches that we are evil, that we're wicked, that apart from God's grace in our hearts, that we will practice wickedness, and that we could certainly be a Hitler. We're capable. Every person is capable of that apart from the grace of God, or a Ted Bundy or a Jeffrey Dahmer. We're all capable of this. And even as Christians, we need to rely upon the grace of God and continually be seeking his face to make sure that we are living according to his commandments and his precepts. But because they believed that men were evil, they believed that it was important to separate, to have three separate branches of government, and to also, in addition to having three separate branches of government, to have these separate branches of government be checks and balances upon each other. And that's the way things used to be. Things used to be where the branches of government were checks and balances. Not only that, but the state government was a check and a balance against the federal government. Do you know that originally most of the federal revenue was actually provided by the states? So if the states didn't agree with what the federal government was doing, they could actually withhold money from the federal government. So it's important that we restore these checks and balances, because what's happening today is you have one branch, the judiciary, that runs roughshod, and the executive branch and the legislative branch stays back, and they say, and we've seen in Tallahassee, we've seen legislators tell us this, well, you know, we would like to protect every innocent human life, but the Florida Supreme or the U.S. Supreme Court won't allow us to do so. And the courts strike it down. Even the state court strikes down rules. Well, you know what? Our founding fathers envisioned a time or envisioned a government where the executive branch would not enforce idiotic rulings of the judiciary. And in fact, that has happened in the past when the U.S. Supreme Court issued the Dred Scott decision. That decision, that 7-2 decision where they ruled that it was legal for one man who, and by the way, in that case was a black man, to own another black man. And this is something that the Supreme Court ruled in a 7-2 decision, Dred Scott. President Abraham Lincoln ignored that decision and refused to enforce it. And of course, we know that we had a civil war. We had the Emancipation Proclamation. We also had the 14th Amendment, the 13th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment that secured to African Americans, to those who were born of African descent, the same rights that everyone else had. So it's important that we restore this principle. The 10th Amendment says this: the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And we've talked about the Jethro principle from Exodus chapter 18, where the people of Israel came and they stood before Moses, and anyone that had a complaint, they would bring it to Moses. Well, I mean, there was more than a million people. Can you imagine if more than a million people, and every time you had a dispute, you had to stand in a line to speak to one person? Well, Jethro said, you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear the people out. And he said, you need to appoint rulers over tens, over 50s, over hundreds, over thousands, and you can handle anything that they can't handle. So out of this passage, the founding fathers developed local, state, and federal government. The local can do everything that the local can do without involving the state or the federal government, they should do. The state would handle everything that the local government can't do that they can do. And the federal government would only do those things that only the federal government can do. And by the way, you yourself have the ability to do a lot yourself. And we need to be people that take care of ourselves. I mean, we don't need the government to come by and mow the grass in our ditches. We don't need the government to do most of what they do. In fact, the majority of what even local government does, state government and federal government, the majority of what they do, they have no right or reason to do so. In fact, when you look at God's, what God says and what the task that God gives to government, you'll see that really most of what they do is not, they are not authorized by God to do. They're also not authorized by the Constitution. Rulers must keep the rule of law and also reward the righteous and punish the wicked. This is the basic purpose of government. From Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. So here we see the purpose of government is to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. And when you see government doing a bunch of other things outside of that task, outside of that purpose, you see a government that is doing things that God has not authorized them to do. Also, one of the things that we see happening in some cities today is we see people that are often called protesters, but really they're not protesters, they're thugs, they're rioters, they're burning down buildings, they're looting, they're yelling at and in some cases even being violent with the police, and we see and being violent with other citizens, and we see mayors telling and ordering their police forces to stand back. I heard one woman that was in a vehicle with her child that was surrounded by some of these rioters, and they were attacking the vehicle and trying to get in and trying to get at this mother and her child. And she called the police, and the police said, you need to speak to the mayor because the mayor has asked us to stand down. There's a reason why God has appointed civil magistrates, and that is to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. And by the way, it's not the rulers that get the ability to determine who's righteous and who's wicked. It is God. What do we see in our country today? Well, we see civil magistrates that are protecting the abortionists, those who kill innocent children. We see, again, civil magistrates standing back and allowing thugs to burn down buildings, burn down businesses, and harm people and steal their property. We need to demand of our elected officials that they will reward the righteous and punish the wicked. Rulers must defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, this phrase actually comes about from the oath of office that many politicians take and many judges take to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. But we have a lot of enemies in our country, not only foreign, but also domestic today. In Psalm 33, verses 16 through 20, we read, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." So this is something that we need to make sure that we realize that when we seek protection, that the first method of protection is to fall on our knees before God and to make sure that we are right with God, individually and also corporately. As a nation, we need to fall on our faces before God and cry out to repent for our sins. Our rulers should defend us. They should actually defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that, by the way, includes the rioters. Those who want to, by the way, the Black Lives Matter organization. As an organization, you can read their website and you can read some of the papers that they have written. They want to overthrow our current form of government and replace it with Marxism. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But when you see Major League Baseball supporting Black Lives Matter, they are supporting an organization that wants to end the American government and replace it with Marxism. By the way, they have been duped. And if you're out there supporting Black Lives Matter, we should definitely protect and seek to protect every innocent human life. All lives matter. But the organization Black Lives Matter is just using this situation as a catalyst to overthrow the American government. By the way, it is this form of government that our founding fathers established that has given the right and the ability to every person that lives here to achieve great things. And people can go from being dirt poor, people can go from being on welfare. I heard of one black woman the other day that was speaking at a county commission meeting or city council meeting where they were discussing whether to remove a monument. And she said, you know, she talked about how she was on welfare. She couldn't pay even buy food for her son, for her kid. And she was receiving this welfare all the time. And she said, the proudest moment of my life was when I went into that welfare office and I went into the food stamps office and I said, I don't need this help anymore. She's now a millionaire. Every person in America has the ability to achieve great things because of this form of government. And those who are ruling, those who are running the Black Lives Matter organization want to overthrow this form of government. Rulers must defend Israel. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We need to defend Israel and to support Israel. Rulers must protect our boundaries. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22, you shall have the same law for the stranger and for the one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God. So it's important before we let someone into this country to know, are they a law-abiding citizen or are they a thug? Are they someone that wants to overthrow our form of government? Are they someone who is has allegiance to communism? Are they someone who supports the laws of the land or not? And by the way, if they're coming over the border illegally, that's a good sign that they're probably not supporting the laws of the land. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 12 through 13 says, gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So the entire nation was to get together once a year, hear the law of God, so that they would know what God's standard for right and wrong is. And they were to, the result of this was not only knowing God's standard, but they would also fear God. And this is something that we need to make sure that anyone coming into this country is someone who does want to actually live according to God's commandments and God's precepts. Rulers must also not allow mistreating of strangers. So this is a duality here. You see, protecting the border, but also those who are strangers should be cared for. We should make sure that people aren't mistreating them. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 21, you shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Anyone that's come from another country to America, especially if they don't know the language, the English language, has dealt with someone taking advantage of them. And this is something that is very important, that we know that rulers should protect and should make sure that we not allow mistreating of strangers. We need to look to the Bible and apply it to our not only our lives but also our families, our church, our government. And we need to return to a place where we are seeking God's commandments and we are seeking His face and we're reading the Bible and applying it to biblical or applying it to our laws. By the way, again, we want to encourage you to go and look at some of the previous sermons that we've preached recently on this. You can also go back 2 years ago and you can look at some of those, because we're not all the way through this passage, this concept here. If you want to continue if you want to vote, you need to vote, go ahead and go back 2 years ago and you can watch some of those sermons at our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. You can also go to floridavotesvalues.com, where we do have links to voter guides, where you can educate yourself on where the candidates stand on these issues, and you can vote according to biblical principles. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidates will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, and more. Again, that's FloridaVotesValues.com.
We look towards the God.